Chapter 18. She called herself Abeloth, and she lived in a cave on the side of a volcano because she said the plants were not so voracious. But Abeloth loved the water. Every morning she would take the search party down to the Crimson River, and the entire group would swim and splash for hours. Then, once they were exhausted, they would crawl out of the water and bask on the beach alongside the huge Drendek lizards that had come down to take the sun on their green, outstretched wings. And while the party was resting, no one needed to worry about eel vines snaking out of the river to snare unmoving ankles, or a hedge of smog brush filling the air with a cloud of poison pollen, or even a swarm of thirsty fangballs tumbling up from behind. When Abeloth was near, the plants never attacked. Vistara knew she should have been alarmed by that, but she wasn't. The truth was, she was too grateful for any respite to be suspicious of it. The search party's Sith discipline remained strong enough that they felt compelled to split up and spend at least a few hours a day trying to find Ship, and the sheer terror of those patrols was so wearying that no one cared why they were safe when they were with Abeloth. When you saw a mat of dead leaves suddenly chomp off the foot that had just stepped on it, or heard a companion scream because a beautiful white flower had just squirted acid into her eyes, all you really wanted was to be back in the cave with Abeloth. It was still before high sun when Vistara felt Lady Rhea's force summons. She glanced over to find Ahri still lying on his back with closed eyes. The azure tint that had come to his lavender skin beneath the blue sun only made him all the more gorgeous, and Vistara was grateful to Lady Rhea for suggesting that she spend more time with him. In addition to being easy to look at, he was her best friend, and his master was so pleased by their obvious closeness that he had finally stopped beating poor Ahri. It did not even bother Vistara that Chaul clearly hoped their friendship would prove useful in spying on Lady Rhea. As long as he believed something valuable might come of the relationship, he was unlikely to seek revenge for the embarrassment Vistara had caused him on the approach to this strange planet. Without opening his eyes, Ahri said,
"She's early today. Are we going farther out?"
"Not that I know of," Vistara answered.
Lady Rhea had warned her to start expecting such innocent-sounding questions. Chaul would want to determine how willing Vistara was to discuss her master's plans with Ahri.
"Lady Rhea still thinks Ship is hiding on the other side of the cave ridge."
Ahri opened his eyes and propped himself on an elbow.
"What do you think?"
"I think we'd better hurry."
Vistara knew he was asking if she could still feel Ship, but Lady Rhea had instructed her to keep secret the unhappy truth, that she had not felt a hint of Ship in the Force since the day he had led them to Abeloth's cave. She snatched Tahiri's tunic out of the sand and threw it at him.
"If we're the last ones there again, we'll end up out on flank."
Ahri was instantly on his feet, using the Force to catch the shirt and lower it over his upraised arms. Vistara also dressed with the aid of the Force, and in less than a minute, they were joining the rest of the search party. Lady Rhea was already standing on the large boulder she used as a speaking dais. Fortunately, a lot of people had been caught off guard by the early summons and were still straggling in, so she barely seemed to notice as Ahri and Vistara took their places. But Master Chaul, standing on the riverbank behind the boulder, studied the pair with a narrow-eyed smirk that suggested he believed their relationship had advanced further than was the case. Happy to buy Ahri another beating-free week by letting Chaul believe what he wished, Vistara forced a blush and let her gaze slide down toward the foot of the boulder, where Abeloth stood, looking out on the gathering Sith as though she were the one in charge of the search party. Abeloth looked lovely and more or less human, but today her hair was brown and long instead of honey-colored and shoulder-length, as it had been when Vistara and Ahri had found her in the cave. Her nose was also a bit longer and straighter than usual, and her eyes were a bit more silver than gray, with a definite upward slant at the outer corners. Abeloth's face changed like that, seeming to take hints from the appearance of anyone with whom she spent time, and somehow it only served to make her more enchanting, as though each new detail deepened the luster of her beauty. So enraptured by her radiance was Vistara
that she did not realize Lady Rhea had begun speaking until Ari nudged her.
"Why is she so flamed?"
he whispered.
"It's not like we haven't been looking."
Vistara covered her distraction by patting the air to quiet him.
"Shh."
Ari frowned in confusion, then seemed to notice her gaze sliding away from Abeloth and rolled his eyes in mock exasperation.
"Focus,"
he hissed.
"You're about to get yourself put on point."
Given her consistent failure to locate ship in the Force, Vistara knew that was all too likely already. She nodded and returned her attention to the top of the boulder.
"Have failed,"
Lady Rhea was saying. Although her angry gaze was hardly focused on Vistara alone, it did not exclude her either.
"Gather your things. We meet the shuttle in 2 hours.
The news hit Vistara like a body blow. She was the one who had guided the mission after ship, and if they returned to Kesh without the wayward vessel, the failure would reflect as badly on her as Lady Rhea. But it was Abeloth's voice, not Vistara's, that cracked the stunned silence that followed.